ENYA is a not-for-profit organisation established in 2003 to create Australia's future enterprise leaders with a focus on innovative businesses. ENYA provides access to funding, mentoring and education for entrepreneurs Australia-wide.
Hi, Lisa Marie here. Thanks for joining us. Today we're here to talk about SEO and SEM, something that everyone wonders about and no one really knows much about. And tonight we've got an expert joining us. So we have the Director of AIMS, Matt Walker. Welcome, Matt.
Hi, Lisa. Thanks for having me.
So just to start, Matt, just tell me a little bit about your background and why you built the company that you did.
Okay, cool. So right now I'm 33. I started in this industry of digital marketing actually when I was 17.
Wow.
I started in a sales environment for Yahoo, which then turned into a role at News Limited and further on to a Google reseller. And about 2003 is when Google became a marketing opportunity for small businesses. And prior to that, obviously, it was more traditional advertising platforms. I worked for a large Google reseller. They were actually the first Google reseller in the country and also the largest in across Australia and New Zealand. After a couple of years, obviously gaining a lot of insight into small business, gaining a lot of insight into how small businesses can really take advantage of digital marketing on Google, I then decided to launch my company, AIMS, back in 2010.
Mm-hmm. Great. Well, it's good to know a little bit about your background,
sure.
But let's get into the guts of it. So everyone really wants to know, what is SEO and what is SEM? What, on a really high level, are they and how can they help us?
Okay, cool. So just to quickly summarize, I suppose, there's two ways to advertise for a business on Google. And we're going to call it direct search. That's the form of advertising. You've got SEO, which is search engine optimization. In a simple explanation, a nutshell, it's about optimizing your website to increase the organic ranking for your website within the Google search engine results. SEM, or search engine marketing, which is what they refer to it as, is basically Google Ads.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's paid advertising. You've probably seen searches when you've done on Google. Usually the top three or four ads, they have a little ad symbol next to it. In a nutshell, that's basically Google Ads. Now, they work on what's called a pay-per-click platform. So just on a brief level, every time you make a search, you choose an ad and enter that ad's website, the advertiser is actually being charged.
Mm.
So every time you get a click, basically costs the advertiser a certain amount of money.
And are these things that we can do ourselves, or do we really need an expert to do them?
Look, absolutely, 100%. Whether it's SEO or AdWords, SEO is a bit more of a technical process. There's a lot of, I suppose, back-end work and quite a lot of technical strategies that go into place to making SEO perform. From an SEM level, it's or Google AdWords. Google Ads is essentially Google's number one advertising product. Just to give you a bit of background, I think it's something like 94% of every dollar that Google makes actually comes from the advertising products.
Interesting.
Search engine marketing through Google Ads is definitely an accessible platform. So a business owner or someone looking to advertise their business product and or service, they can definitely set up their own Google Ads.
So if they set up their own ads, why is it better? So I actually personally want to know, if I went onto the Google Ad platform and set up my own ads, what's the difference between me setting them up myself or going to an expert like you, for example? Is there a huge difference in the revenue I'll generate and why?
Look, perfect question. And I promise you that's something that myself and my team would get asked every single day. I can do this myself. What's the difference between moving with an agency or someone who knows what they're doing compared to me doing it themselves? Look, the short answer is that there is so many factors or variables in making it effectively work. Absolutely, it can be as simple as selecting keywords, adding budget, setting your ads, and going live on Google. Most definitely. But I suppose I look at it from a pure advertising perspective. My advice to anyone starting on digital marketing would be to understand the purpose of why they're doing it. There are factors involved whether business A works or business B doesn't work. And again, a lot of what I sort of like to explain to a lot of my clients or even small businesses who ask the question is I would make sure you understand exactly why you're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've seen a lot of people spend a lot of money on Google Ads with the understanding it's as simple as spending money and choosing keywords and fail. And I've also seen a lot of people do it very successfully.
What's the difference between the people that do it and fail and do it and are successful? Is it complete chance or is it a stab in the dark?
No, definitely not. There's so many factors, I suppose, because obviously with Google Ads, it's what I like about it, it's very controllable, it's very flexible. Now, you have the ability to do such things such as obviously choose your own keywords
mm-hmm.
in which your ads show up for. you have the ability to target particular demographics, locations, age groups, times of day, days of week in which you want to advertise to your audience. Now, if I look at a service-based business hypothetically, they're advertising their products or services, they set a budget, and they go live on Google Ads. Mm-hmm. Their intention to advertise is to drive customers to their website with the goal for their website to then convert those customers into leads or sales or inquiries and so on and so forth. So when I say there's a lot of factors involved or variables, the website now comes into play. Now, the quality of your website or the purpose of your website is going to play a huge role into the success of your ads.
That's interesting.
So a lot of the topics, I think, is there's so much more to success in marketing than just the marketing products itself.
So if a website plays a big part in this, what should we do to make our to optimize our website for SEM and SEO? What are the things we can do ourselves without getting an expert in to rank better or to drive more traffic to our site?
Okay, cool. So I would say from an AdWords perspective, because the way I look at Google Ads is this, you've paid for the click. So essentially your goal is to turn that click into an action. Mm-hmm. And the action is going to stem from clicking on your ad, entering your website. First, I will try to understand exactly what I want my customer or user to do when they land on my website. So there's a number of factors that go into making a website perform or not perform. Are you selling products on your website? Are you looking to generate leads? Are you looking to get email subscribers? Are you building database? So on and so forth. Mm-hmm. Creating call to actions, conversion points, obviously a high quality website that's highly engaging, relevant to the search, is probably going to perform a lot better over a underperforming website that loads slow, maybe not mobile responsive, and doesn't really engage or encourage the customer to action something.
So I'm thinking back when I started, and it's an interesting story because I actually started with you when I started the business Glamazon.
Absolutely.
With my partner, and we did, I think, $400, which was very low budget, and we just wanted to test it out and see if it worked, and it did, and our business, I think, quadrupled in the first month and then doubled and doubled, and we were spending $400 a month.
Amazing.
Yeah, and I know the advice that I was given was that we should have a phone number up the top right-hand corner of the page and you know, a certain thing here and a certain thing there. Are there particular things like that we can tell our audience so they themselves can place items in the right spot around their website to improve their conversions?
Yeah, absolutely. The way I look at it and the way I would always give the advice is you're advertising on Google. Now, depending on what type of industry you're in, it is the most competitive marketplace for a business to advertise their services. Now, what that does, that brings a lot of competition. So for argument's sake, we're on Google. Let's say we're on Google via SEO, mm-hmm. or we're on Google via ads and we're paying for ads. Now, we know that if someone's typed in a keyword for our ad to display, we know that there's probably going to be 7 or 8 paid advertisers there, and there's probably going to be another sort of 10 or 15 organic businesses there. Now, that's a very, very competitive ground. We have one consumer and we have 20 plus businesses all bidding for that particular click. Now, if we are lucky enough or we build an ad good enough to get the click, I suppose it's important that your website has the ability to convert the click into a lead, sale, phone call, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So I would probably first define exactly what I want my customer to do. Exactly what you said there, 1% factors play a role. Where your website is located is definitely a big one. For all variations and all reasons, mobile responsive is a huge, huge one. This day and age, something along the lines of 50, 60% of all searches and website visitors are made on a mobile. Mm. If you're in a more on-demand service, a trade service, it's actually higher. So essentially, if your mobile is not completely, your website's not completely mobile compatible, that's going to have a negative impact on your conversion rate. If your website loads slow, Google hate that, but so do your customer. So that's obviously going to have a negative impact on converting a lead.
So with the slow loading, does Google actually de-rank you if your website loads slowly?
Absolutely. It's a definite big factor from an SEO perspective and within Google's algorithm and how they determine where websites will rank organically. That's definitely a big factor for Google. But again, I bring it back to the real world. It's even more of a problem for your customer.
Mm. So if your homepage is image heavy, for example, will that mean it's going to load slowly or it's just the size of the images that we've got to be careful of?
Well, it's a bit of both, to be honest with you. Depends on how the website's built, the development, the functionality of the site. Images are a big factor. Videos are other factors that slow it down. There are a couple of sources that you can do to test the speed of your website. And I would say that it's very, very important to make sure that it does load very, very quickly. Images that slow your website down, I would look to either resize, redo, or get rid of. If they're not having a positive impact on my business or on my website for my customer, and they're slowing my website down, that's definitely something I would look to move.
So what's a site we can go to check the speed of our website?
Google have a platform, not sure the exact URL, but Google have a platform. If you were just to Google website speed test, you'll be presented with multiple platforms. Google have their own one.
Amazing. Okay, so I want to ask you a question because I've been wondering about that myself, and I've heard that there's black hat SEO in particular and white hat SEO, and I've heard a lot of people telling me that if you go overseas and get SEO from, you know, the online platforms like Freelancer and Upwork, a lot of the time it's this black hat SEO, which is not supposed to be that great. But I've heard a very mixed kind of review about all of this stuff. So as an expert, what's your opinion on this?
Zan, happy to talk about this one. And this is something that obviously comes up a lot. The world of SEO, and that's probably, there's a massive gap in understanding and education behind what SEO is and how it actually works. To answer it simply, black hat SEO versus white hat SEO. White hat is just SEO done correctly. Black hat are backdoor techniques and shortcuts to being able to get your site to rank on Google. SEO in its purest form is not an advertising channel. Obviously, because Google is the number one marketplace to show your business, SEO has become super important. To answer it quickly, SEO essentially is manipulation of Google search engine. If you look at Google and what it's there for, it's an information engine. It's for me or you to search and to find. So Google will always display the highest quality and most relevant website based on what you typed in. Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, Google has an algorithm that determines where websites sit for what particular keywords. Now, the service or the process of SEO is to optimize your site, targeting the keywords that we know that are going to benefit your business from showing up on Google for, in a bid to increase your website's ranking on Google for that. Now, with SEO and with Google, at the end of the day, Google will determine where your website sits. Google have guidelines, Google have best practice teachings, and obviously Google have algorithms. If we can follow the right principles, then your website will eventually rank. My best advice is when I look at black hat SEO or I look at cheap alternatives in SEO, outsourcing overseas and whatnot, this makes me nervous and I always advise my clients to be very, very wary of it. Definitely it's cost effective. But if I look at advertising, I look at it as an investment, not a bill. I spend money to make money, not to save money. So if I was looking at SEO, looking at a shortcut version, there is no shortcuts in SEO. You may get short-term success. Black hat technique you utilize from an outsourced company may have short-term success via ranking and or traffic to your website, but 9 times out of 10, it will definitely negatively impact the longevity of your site and essentially your website's relationship with Google. In this day and age, that's super important to a business.
So if Google realizes that you're doing the black hat style, they'll completely remove you from Google searches? How does that work?
Well, it's sort of not like that, but there's penalties. You definitely can get penalized. Your domain can get penalized. If you've got poor quality backlinks to or from your site, that's definitely going to be an issue. If your website, give you another example, if your website has a lot of duplicate content, so if you have 20 pages all with the same content, if you're targeting a keyword like, let's say for argument's sake, plumber Sydney, and you've got the word plumber Sydney plastered on every single page 1,000 times, and I'll be honest, that used to work 10 years ago, it no longer works now. Google are quick to understand this. Google are quick to penalize this. Google's goal from their search engine, again, is to provide the most relevant information to the user. It's built for the user, not built for the advertiser. Because of its popularity and because 95% of everyone in this country uses it, that's where it's become such an awesome advertising platform.
Mm. Okay. So I'd love to hear about a case study because, as I said before, I know we started off using you guys and we went from something like $400 a month to 10 grand a month, and it really worked for us and we saw the results. And I really want to hear a case study, a personal a business, a connection that you have that you've helped and how far they came and what revenue they made from this.
Yeah, absolutely. To think of one that came to mind essentially would probably be a service-based client of ours in the trade industry, right? Now, basically, the first goal that I would always advise, and this is what we did with this journey, is discover. First, understand exactly what we're trying to achieve. What I love about digital marketing and more so Google Ads is definitely the flexibility and controllability you have. So as you said before yourself, you started off on a very modest budget and obviously increased as the performance increased. I would definitely advise a small business or startup to do the exact same thing. Obviously, budget cash flow is always going to be somewhat of a conversation for a startup or a small business. So being conservative and using your budget effectively is definitely the right advice. Obviously, the best advice I would say, or the best case study I'll give an example, would basically be where we had a sole trader. Now, this sole trader was in his late 50s. He'd been operating a waterproofing business, right, in Sydney. He'd survived in the past of traditional forms of advertising. Mm-hmm. He'd missed the digital age. He didn't transform his business. He had no website. Actually, I think he had a Wix website or something like that.
Wix.
No disrespect to Wix websites. But
we love Wix.
I love Wix, absolutely. But basically, he hadn't yet sort of transformed his business to the digital age. What we basically did was we really understand exactly what he's trying to achieve. He had a lot of fuel left in the tank and he had aspirations to scale and grow. He had an awesome business model with the ability to scale. We're now, just to summarize, we're now about 2 years into the relationship. He has now, I think, 11 vans on the road. He has now branched into Brisbane, Gold Coast, Tasmania and Melbourne.
And he started just by himself?
He started by himself mm-hmm. in his late 50s with zero understanding of how this game worked. Started on a very, very small budget. We turned $1 into $2 and we spent the $2 back into advertising. We turned $2 into $4.
How much did he start? How much budget did he put on his first month?
Look, at the very start, I believe, we sort of did the numbers in terms of what he needed. So his goal was a volume of leads to achieve a volume of sales or bookings to achieve a target for revenue. So we basically did the numbers in terms of what's our minimum break even. I believe we started on a budget of about $1,000 a month.
Okay.
Just to give an indication of where he's spending now, 2 years down the track. And I believe Google AdWords particularly is a formula and can become a formula that you can set your watch to, where $1 spend can equal $10 and $15 in revenue. He's sort of at around maybe the 15, 20 grand spend a month mark, but the multiplier for what the revenues receive from that is just amazing.
So how much do you think he's returning on that 10 to 15 grand he's spending a month?
At the moment, from last check and last conversation, sort of in the 50s and 60s.
Yeah, amazing.
With a business that does not have any product cost associated. It's a pure service.
Amazing. And so if the average person was to go out there and try SEM, for example, I want to put some budget and just see if this works for me. How long should I attempt to do this before I either give up or know it's working?
Okay, so look, and this is another conversation that definitely comes up a lot. I hear a lot of people, even on forums and through a lot of the events that we do, that Google Ads doesn't work for my business. And the reason why I believe people say that, I would disagree, because I know for a fact, and I've seen it work on across many verticals for many different types of businesses with different types of needs and on different levels in their business. It definitely does work, but I believe it needs the right approach and the right strategy. You definitely need a quality and proper website. Essentially, what you're marketing is as important of how you're marketing. And I think that's where a lot of people sort of sometimes miss the mark. Moderate budget, 100%, is achievable. You definitely need to have the right keywords you're targeted. And I think, again, I would probably start slow. Usually, we would advise a customer that you can develop a trend in about 60 to 90 days on Google Ads.
So 3 months?
I believe so.
Right.
With constant tweaking.
Okay, that's fair. And how do I know if SEM is for my business or, for example, SEO is? Because I'm aware that SEO is a long game, so you don't do SEO and expect instant results. It's like 6 months down the track. And SEM is more of an instant return. And so what businesses does, say, SEO work for, and what businesses does SEM work for?
Yeah, perfect question as well. In a nutshell, I'd definitely say both are needed from a comprehensive marketing strategy. When I look at Google Ads, absolutely, you said it's quicker wins. We see immediate return and we see immediate traction. My concern with Google Ads is because it can get very spend focused, because it's one of those products where if you're not consistently adding budget or spending budget, you're not getting. The moment you stop spending money, you're no longer getting anything from a click or a lead perspective. I like SEO in the sense of it's almost like building an asset. The pro to the con to it is It is long term, but I believe it's from a 12-month perspective, 18-month perspective, the ROI from SEO will definitely beat the ROI from Google AdWords. I would say with Google AdWords, your goal essentially would be to achieve quick wins and maintain those quick wins. With SEO, you're looking for traffic. With Google Ads, you're only looking for conversions mm-hmm. because you've paid for the clicks. You're not looking to get as many people into your site as possible. You're looking to get as many actions from people entering your site. With SEO, the goal is traffic, but from traffic, obviously, then we're looking for lead sales conversions.
So in a nutshell, I should be doing SEM for short-term and SEO for long-term in parallel.
Absolutely. I've seen many case studies and many clients who will do exactly what you said, will run both simultaneously. There is a sweet spot, I believe. There's a sweet spot where, based on the fact that SEO does take time, there's a transition period where you're spending money on AdWords because you need it to generate traffic, to generate leads or indoor sales. SEO does take time. Over a period of time when your website's starting to rank organically via SEO, starting to drive traffic to your site, and now starting to convert leads and or sales, what we then can do is start to look to decrease our budget on AdWords. At the moment, and again, I'm a Google Premier partner, but obviously Google wins the most out of all this. This is why I say build a SEO strategy, build a long-term strategy to almost mitigate and be able to reduce the reliance on consistently throwing money at Google Ads.
And we know SEM is based on a cost per click, but for the average SEO campaign, how much would that cost?
Look, it depends. There's so many different variations on what SEO is. I hear so many times people bought SEO campaigns for $150 from an overseas company. SEO essentially, in its nutshell, is pure service. So when you say work with an agency like mine, it works on almost budget allocation. Mm-hmm. What budget you have will determine the time spent and the resources allocated. How many links we can build, how many pages of content we can write, how much time is going to be essentially dedicated to optimizing your site.
So it's paying basically an hourly rate for someone to be working on your SEO?
Well, look, if you're looking at, if you're analyzing an SEO agency to determine whether the right fit for you, some will charge that way. A lot will determine time and therefore maybe go on hourly rate. Others will then set budget for product cost because there are product costs associated with SEO depending whether you're buying pages of content, you're buying backlinks at the same time. So to give an indication, depending on the goals, an average budget for SEO, in my experience, would probably sit anywhere from around that sort of $500 to $600 mark up to around the $3,000-$4,000 a month mark. A big factor is going to determine what the costs are, which would then determine how much resources need to be allocated, would be how competitive the industry is that you're in.
Right.
If you're targeting really broad keywords, really competitive keywords, with 500 other of your competitors doing the same thing, spending the same money, trying to target the same keywords, obviously that's going to require more work for you to win and beat your competitor. So again, probably keywords and competition will probably be a big factor that will determine how much you should or shouldn't spend on SEO.
Okay. So I've recently heard something and it kind of resonated with me, and it was all about SEO. And I heard it was in relation to, I think it was a plastic surgeon who was paying for SEO. And he had a strategy that he went out and found, and it happened also in mummy bloggers, but I'll go on to that later. But he had a strategy that he'd found people blogging about plastic surgery or different things, who had a website, who kind of let it go and wasn't doing it anymore, wasn't focusing on it. And he could buy that website and all of that content for couple of $100 and then link that back to his site. So what he's actually doing, and it happens a lot in mummy bloggers because they have a baby, they blog about a bunch of stuff, the baby gets to 2 years old and they can't be bothered doing the website because they're too busy. And so there's a lot of people in that area of business who are buying up these mummy blogger sites, and same as the plastic surgeon, then linking them all back to their website. And apparently this is boosting their SEO quite dramatically.
Well, and you're not wrong. Essentially, when I mentioned before about the whole paid link process, where mm-hmm. there's sometimes product costs associated with an SEO strategy, and that's definitely one. Obviously, backlinks, or what they call off-site SEO, is a big part of the success and or performance of search engine optimization. Obviously, a good strategy is exactly what you were saying, where we might have a blog or a press release site or an article site with high engagement, high traffic, and the domain has high authority. Now, if we can get ourselves an article on that site and we can link back to our website, that's going to almost look as, in the way I explain it simple, is a tick of recommendations from Google's perspective. Your goal of SEO essentially is to almost be very active and prominent in the World Wide Web. So little things such as your local business listing, your listing on local business directories, if you have press releases that are published in various publications online and we can link them back to our site, they're all definitely ticks of recommendation and it's going to help your overall website's ranking.
So we want everyone to be linking to our site, and I know we don't want to be linking out to anyone's site.
Sort of to a degree, a combination of both, but obviously inbound links is definitely going to be what's the most important if they're coming from high authority sites with high authority domains. Now, that's where you can have sometimes a negative impact if you've got, and this is probably, we go back to that black hat topic, and I see it so many times with people that outsource to overseas and whatnot, where the quickest the quickest win that a black hat technique would be to just build 1,000 links from really low quality and almost negative websites towards your site. Now, I've seen that happen before where a client has joined us with just thousands of really poor quality backlinks. The first step is one of two things. We either need to throw that domain out or we need to go through the process of disavowing all of those links. That obviously pushes you back a lot. So back to the black hat SEO or the shortcuts, that's probably the worst case scenario in terms of getting penalized.
Interesting. So would you recommend going on to something like Upwork or Freelancer? Because I know we always go to those places because it works out to be more economical for us a lot of the time. But generally, do we say those places are black hat places? Or would we say if we went through and looked at ratings and reviews and locations of those freelancers, that would be okay?
Spot on. Exactly. The last sentence you said is spot on. I would definitely not say you can't find a great freelancer. That would be silly for me to say. And there is excellent SEOs in the country. My advice would be to stay in the country. That's my personal opinion. It's controllable. It's local. I would always want to be able to have phone, ideally face-to-face communication with the person who was gaining full control, full access over my website and also was in charge of its quality and its performance. So I would always say local, but freelancers are definitely not something I would say no to. Obviously, an agency with more experience with a team and past wins would definitely be important. When choosing who to do your SEO, I would probably want to find case studies. So if the person or the agency who's you've engaged for to do your SEO, I would want to know what they've done in the past from a ranking perspective, maybe for other websites or other clients. The important thing with SEO is it's about keywords, absolutely. And I think the misconception is it's about ranking. It's not. The first step is ranking, but it's not the goal. I believe it's the steps towards the goal. The ultimate goal of SEO, because in a nutshell, we use SEO for advertising. We use it to assist us in growth and growing our business and obviously revenue and so on and so forth. The goal is conversions. The goal is sales. The goal is leads. The goal is phone calls, whatever the purpose is of your business and of your website and how your customer reaches out to you. Now, we cannot achieve conversions if we don't get traffic to our site. That's one step. But we cannot achieve traffic via SEO if we don't achieve ranking. So my advice, if you're sourcing an SEO company or you're looking to implement your own SEO, would be don't get too carried away with the type with the specific keyword. The keyword you want to be targeting is not always the one that drives the most traffic. It's the one that converts the most leads or sales. It's not always the one that you can get ranking quick for, but it doesn't generate any traffic. Because I see a lot of rank reports, I see a lot of clients we speak with who have been doing SEO for years and years and years, and they say, oh, my website's ranking on the first page for 500 keywords. We say, that's amazing, let's look into that. Those 500 keywords deliver 100 visitors. So what I look at that and say, okay, well, those keywords are great, but no one's searching for those keywords, so they don't really have a commercial positive impact on your business. Mm-hmm. The vanity's there because your website's ranking. That's amazing. But again, when I go back to the drawing board, what was the purpose of doing SEO? And I think I would try to tailor my approach, strategy, and who I choose based on being able to achieve my purpose. And my experience is always going to be conversions over ranking.
And if, for example, I had $500 to spend on SEO or SEM, which should I choose? I'm thinking I'd choose SEM because it gives me instant revenue. Is that right?
Look, short answer is I would say the same thing. Okay. Depending where your business is at, depending on what product or service you're selling or what the purpose is. But I know that I can definitely utilize that $500 to make with SEO. I wouldn't engage in SEO unless you are prepared for the long journey ahead. If we're looking to somewhat bootstrap our strategy, our marketing strategy to reinvest, and you had $500 and you needed to have a shot at advertising, I would definitely say put into Google Ads at this stage.
Okay. And then I guess as the business returns through the Google Ads, you build more money, and then slowly you can go into SEO after you have a little bit more of a budget.
Exactly right. And I think if you're in a budget-conscious situation, you need to spend wisely, then that's exactly how I would advise it, yeah.
Okay. What's been the biggest change that you've experienced in digital marketing in Australia? So I know, obviously, that's your forte. That's yep. where your business lies. Tell yep. us about some big changes that are happening in the industry.
I'll probably say the major change, obviously, is its accessibility now for small business or startups or any level of business, to be honest with you. I suppose if I look back, I was almost lucky enough when I started my career in, it was sort of 2002, I believe, and I was only 17, and I had no idea about much back then when I first started, I'll be honest with you, but it was just sort of at the end of the Yellow Pages domination for where to advertise. It moved into local business directory. Yellow Pages went online, TrueLocal.com was born, and so on and so forth. Then at that stage, Google was not an option. To advertise your business, if you're a micro business, startup, small to medium-sized business, was not an option back then. And over sort of the course of the next 10 years, it became just extremely accessible. Now, if we look at 2019, it's almost a no-brainer. If you have a business and you have plans, you must be on Google. By far, it's definitely the most powerful advertising product. But I think probably the biggest change I would say, in particular, a lot of businesses in competitive industries, in Australia, in particular the Sydney market, is the competition. The popularity brings the competition. Advertising in its purest form has not changed in hundreds of years. We just go where the eyes go. And right now, all the eyes are on Google. So the market is super competitive. So that's why I'm a big believer when I say, really plan it out. Come in with a strategy. Understand what your business is, why you're unique, what problems you solve for customers or searchers, and how you can highlight that on your ads, how you can highlight that on your website, and so on and so forth. That's probably the biggest thing I've probably seen is the level of competition and therefore the need for unique strategies.
Okay, that's good advice. How popular is the Google marketing platform with small businesses in Australia? Do we have any stats around that?
Look, I don't really have any stats on the actual small businesses, but I think I said it before, it's something like 94-95% of every search in the country is made on Google. Again, I compare where consumers are, obviously advertisers are or businesses are, and where businesses are, that's where the consumers are. So in terms of popularity, it's obviously massive. Digital marketing has far surpassed your more traditional forms of advertising now. And I talk mainly Google and I talk mainly search engine marketing, but obviously, Google have a suite of advertising products. They have YouTube advertising for video. They have display, remarketing, and other products. Obviously, there's Bing, which is another player on the market these days as well.
I just wrote down Bing. And what happened to yeah. Yahoo? Do okay. people still search on
no,
Yahoo?
No, they don't. I think maybe since I left. I think maybe I'm not sure the business collapsed since then. But no, look, there's not much activity on Yahoo, I'll be honest with you. But we're also a Bing premier partner as well. Bing is actually starting to make some waves, I'll be honest
Tell
with you.
Tell me about Bing. I think I've seen my partner accidentally favorite some
yeah.
search engine, which might have been Bing. That wasn't Google. And I reprimanded him for
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
But what's Bing and is it just like Google? Is it exactly the same thing?
In a nutshell, exactly right. It's a search engine. Probably the reason why your partner's done it is he's probably got a Microsoft on his computer laptop. Obviously, Bing is powered by Microsoft.
He's not Apple.
Okay.
We're on opposite sides of
the fence. They've definitely forced him to make his default browser Bing. But look, we've got a great relationship with Bing as well and we spend a lot of time with Bing. Look, the demographic of Bing is different, which is why it's sort of interesting. I can't remember the exact maths, but they say, and this is Bing stats that they've sort of displayed to us, past, they say the average Bing user or prominent Bing user earns a lot, or their salary is a lot higher than the average salary in Australia. So there's different markets, different verticals that actually work really, really well on Bing. From a market share perspective, they're obviously not even in the same room as Google at the moment, but I believe that they are chipping away. So I would say when you're looking at an overall advertising strategy or a marketing strategy for your business, don't neglect Bing. I would definitely allocate budget towards both Bing Ads, which is the same as Google Ads, and also SEO via Bing.
So is there specific industries that you feel would be better on Bing than Google, or is it definitely the do it on both?
Look, the difference is where Google have the search volume, right? So there's all of everybody's on Google, everyone's searching for Google. There's enough searches, there's enough traffic, there's enough leads, enough sales for most businesses and most industries. Now, Google, obviously, it's hard to get the volume because the searches aren't there. In my experience, the finance sector does really, really well on Bing.
Great. Well, there you go. We found out about Bing tonight. Mm. So thank you so much for coming in and talking with us, Matt. It was a pleasure. And would you like to just tell us a little bit about your business so if anyone wants to get in touch, they know how to do so?
Yeah, 100%. Thank you for having me. So again, my agency is called AIMS, which is it's a mouthful. It's Australian Institute of Internet Marketing Services. Look, in a nutshell, we're a digital marketing agency. We work with small to medium-sized businesses across multiple verticals, particularly in the trade and services sector. We're one of the largest privately owned agencies in Australia and New Zealand. Google AdWords, SEO, web design, branding, full circle digital marketing. If any listeners or anyone in the audience even needs advice, and regardless of whether you have the ability to work with us or not, more than happy to assist.
That's so nice. And your website is?
Just aims.com.au, which is AIIMS.com.au.
Thank you so much.
Not a problem, lovely.
Thank you for listening to Enya Podcast. Please follow us on Facebook or Instagram. If you have any questions or feedback, please contact us at www.enya.foundation.